This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
You're listening to the Stoke City Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. What a show we have for you. Many games to talk about, and we look towards the second half of the season on this Stoke takeover. It is your chance to have your say. How are you feeling that how your side is doing this season so far as we head into that second half of the season at the midway point? Have your say. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. Well, guess what? We want to hear from you, the fans. This is your team, your voice. And we've got a new fan on tonight with us. This is Anthony Bunn from Duck Magazine. Anthony, thank you for joining us tonight and giving us a little bit of your time. Obviously, the first time getting to speak to you on the Stoke City Fan Show. Looking forward to you becoming a semi-regular and making an appearance. But let's look at the bigger picture at the minute. A big season that's gone on for Stoke this year. Obviously, starting the year with Nathan Jones, now Michael O'Neill, and obviously in relegation battle, now one place outside of it. Before we look at the game, obviously, on the weekend, what have you made on the season overall?
It's been pretty atrocious, to be honest. We've had a bad, really bad 2 or 3 years. Since coming down from the Premier League, which was totally avoidable, we played poorly, both in management and terms of players. And, you know, it's biting us on the bum at the minute. We're, like you said before, you know, right in the middle of a relegation battle to a league that we, you know, we were last in, oh crikey, quite a while back. You know, it's not like we've not been down there, but it would just have seemed unfathomable about 4 or 5 years ago when we were playing like Man City, Man United, Liverpool. We beat 6-1 last game of the season, and now we're in a huge relegation battle. So yeah, the season's been really poor so far, but it's got better in recent weeks with Michael O'Neill, and hopefully that'll continue.
Yeah, so many questions, obviously, to ask you, Anthony, because obviously the first time speaking with you, I want to speak about Jones and now what you're making of what we've seen of Michael O'Neill's short tenure so far. But just on that, you know, you spoke about the Premier League memories there, the brilliant victories they had, the clubs that they used to face. And let's be honest, Stoke weren't just a newly promoted side that enjoyed their fun coming up for a couple of years. They were an established Premier League side, and it's very hard. We do a number of fan shows here on Love Sport Radio, and we speak to the likes of Burnley, Bournemouth, and it's so difficult, they say. You know, you sort of reach a level in the Premier League, you're an established, and you either try to take this next step, this next rung on the ladder, and you can get fanned out a little bit, and before you know it, you're in the Championship. And we've seen it with other clubs such as Sunderland, Bolton. Then there's a League One trapdoor. Stoke are obviously trying to fight that out at the minute. It's so hard. You take this big gamble and this calculated risk almost, but it can backfire, like it sort of has done for Stoke, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we went down, we've been down 18 months now, and, you know, the first season we went down, we appointed Gary Rowett in the summer, and, you know, he spent a lot of money. We've got the most expensively assembled Championship squad there's ever been. So it's not just a fall from grace, it's a financially disastrous fall from grace as well. And you were right, you know, you're talking about levels earlier, about being in the Premier League. We were there for a decade, and in that time we got to the FA Cup final, Europa League last 32, and then when Tony Pulis left us, we appointed Mark Hughes, and we finished ninth for 3 seasons running. We were primed around about 2015 to become not the next Leicester. We were never going to win the league, but we were one of those teams which were one or two players away from challenging top six. Like you say, we finished, I think it was 2015 season, beating Liverpool at home in Gerrard's last game 6-1 without Bojan. You know, and we had on the likes of Arnautovic, Shaqiri came along, obviously. We had some absolutely top quality players. And so, we weren't a flash in the pan. We were there for a decade. And I think the top 10 appearances in the last decade in the Premier League, Ryan Shawcross as a player is in the top 10. And that's for 2 years out of the Premier League. So, we weren't a team who were yo-yoing. We were established, went up to the kind of next level under Mark Hughes, and then, unfortunately, under, you know, Hughes kind of lost the plot, and now, like I say, we've had 3 years of managerial catastrophes, to be honest, and recruitment catastrophes. We've spent a hell of a lot of money. So, you know, Michael O'Neill's had a large job, one of the largest jobs in football, I would say, to be honest. If he keeps us up this season, obviously it's a minor miracle, but it's not far off it for the state the you know the playing side that the club was in.
Yeah, I think he's a terrific manager. Obviously, his time and the work and the job he done with Northern Ireland, now taking this Stoke job. But just on, obviously, that you know the Championship squad, you mentioned it there, one of the most expensive assembled, and everyone outside of Stoke, you know, the outside perspective going, Stoke are going straight back up. They're bouncing straight back up. You know, strongest squad on paper. We know nothing's won on paper. Has that sort of maybe had a reverse effect, a detrimental effect? Maybe that played on the players' minds and the team's minds, you know, it ate into their mentality. Because there's always a pressure on or coming down from the Premier League and expecting to bounce straight back up. But with that squad expectation and the players that they had, it just felt like a double weight on their shoulders.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, I remember I did a piece for Brentford fanzine as soon as we came down at the start of the season, the first season we were down. They asked us where we think we'd finish and whatever. I think we said fifth or sixth. Under Gary Rowett, and I don't think there were many Stoke fans who actually thought we'd bounce straight back up, purely because we saw relegation coming. It was coming two and a half years in the pipeline. It wasn't a surprise when it came. We were god awful in that last year when we went down. Don't forget, we went down in a season of the Premier League where Crystal Palace, I think, lost the first eight games without scoring a goal, and yet they still finished something like, I think, 10 points above us. So we were dreadful when we went down. I personally didn't think we'd come back up. I thought straight away, I thought playoffs at best, you know, if you could sneak up through that. But we came down. I don't know if it was mentality as much as the actual makeup of the squad. I think the Championship is a far different league to the Premier League. It's a far, I wouldn't say more athletic league, but it's a faster pace in a way. It's probably more physical. And I don't think we had the players to cope with the demands of it, to be honest. One thing we've lacked for years is pace. We're one of probably the most one-paced squad around in any league I've seen. The only pace we've got are youngsters like Tyrese Campbell, Thibaut Valinden, who've not really had much game time. So I think the teams who do well in the Championship either have pace or play with a pace. For example, Brentford. I love watching Brentford. I think they're, as a club, I think they're a shining light for clubs who are outside the Premier League. Their recruitment is absolutely outstanding, and they play with a tempo and a pace that, you know, that few others in the division can match. When they play well, I think they're the best team in the division to watch. And we've just been light miles away from that. I think we've got a little bit more in the squad now under Michael O'Neill. We put James McLean out wide on the left after Nathan Jones somehow thought he was a left back for several months. And we look a little bit more like a Championship side now. But when we came down, we hadn't got the players. They may have been big names on paper and earning a lot of money, etc., but they weren't Championship style players, and that's been proven to be the case.
Yeah, it's a really interesting one. If we look at this season, obviously, we spoke about the players and the mentality, obviously, Anthony. But if we look at this season, starting that season with Nathan Jones, obviously, and now Michael O'Neill, because Nathan Jones was someone that was given a lot of time. You know, the board and the family were behind him. They wanted him to work out. It just didn't work out for him. Obviously, he had that time. He was appointed from January. So he had that end to the last half of last season, you know. No, they didn't hit the ground running this year. It didn't work out. But Michael O'Neill has given the place a lift. What did you make of Nathan Jones's tenure and obviously the start that Michael O'Neill was made?
Yeah, well, Nathan Jones came and I think he was universally kind of liked when he came. He was the kind of project manager we possibly needed. Somebody who came in who was who'd done his trade at a lower level, even though Luton obviously are in the same league as us now, played with a refreshing attacking purpose. His team scored, I think, most goals in the season, apart from Man City, the year they got promoted. And, you know, he said all the right things. He said he was going to play youngsters, play with pace, we're going to score a lot of goals. He said all the right things, and he completely tore up what he said. We became a very pragmatic team going forwards, and slow team in a way going forwards. We played a diamond formation, which enabled teams just to pick us off at will. We conceded, I think it was two goals a game under him, and to be honest, I'm sitting here now in my living room, and if Nathan Jones was still in charge, we'd be down, as far as I'm concerned. he statistically, I think he's the worst manager I think we've ever had. So he was backed financially. He brought in, I think it was 12, 13 of his own players, completely against the type of player that he said he was going to bring in. Most were slow, ponderous, slightly aging, completely against what he promised us. And we were an absolute mess, to be honest. And like I say, if Michael O'Neill hadn't come in, I think we would have bottomed the league by now and probably cast adrift. And it's almost as if, as a manager now, we've got an adult in charge taking over from a kid. Nobody wanted Nathan Jones to succeed more than the Stoke support. He got unbelievable support off the fans, even to the day he left. When we won the odd game every now and then, he'd come on the pitch beating his chest and whatever, and he got massive rounds of applause from the fans. He already liked his passion, but his passion when he came on the pitch at 90 minutes was often the only passion we saw from anybody from Stoke.
I know, it's such an interesting one. I can't remember who you was playing there. There was a Friday night game on Sky, and obviously everyone thought if Nathan doesn't win this game, he's out of a job. They'd done a big build-up beforehand, so the family behind him. He got that win, and then obviously it didn't happen after. He got a small reprieve of sorts, but it didn't quite work out for him. You mentioned the passion on the pitch, and obviously now under Michael O'Neill, I think this was a great appointment, and this was actually a prestigious one in a way, because a lot of clubs wanted Michael O'Neill. He's been tempted away from international football for a long time. He wanted to get into club football, but he's chosen Stoke of the because of the project here. And I think it's an exciting time, isn't it, Anthony?
It's not exciting at the minute. It's just a case of let's get to May and stay up. And then let's see where Michael can take us. Like I say, I've got a lot more faith in the fact that we could stay up under Michael than the previous manager. He doesn't promise you the earth. His teams are quite pragmatic, but we've also scored quite a few goals. What he's done is beating the teams around us. So the teams we've needed to win, which we lost before under Nathan Jones, like the 1-0 game against Huddersfield, which we needed to win, we lost. But under Michael O'Neill, we beat the teams around us. The only thing is, the teams around us now, they're nicking the odd win as well. So we're going to have to start beating teams above us. So we're still quite a way off from where we need to be. We're one place and a point above the relegation zone. We've got a really testing few weeks to come. We've got what, starting with West Brom away on Monday night. Like I said, if he keeps us up, he'll do a hell of a job, because the squad was so imbalanced. It was so large as well. It's always a case when you come down from the Championship. It's not a case of who you can get into your team. It's a case of who you can get, I always think. And we've, the wage bill is huge, absolutely massive. So financial fair play may come into that over the next year or two. So he's got to get some of the high earners off the wage, but also keep squad morale, keep making points for us as well. So, but he's done it in a very kind of unfussy way so far. Even now, we're midway through January. We've brought everybody in, and in days gone by, in the last two or three years, it's been kind of a revolving door of people coming into the club, which we haven't needed or wanted. So I'm quite happy with what the work has done so far. We need one or two new players coming in, but I think it's going to be a case of who we can ship out first.
Yeah,
and there's been the likes of Joe Allen's been mentioned going out, and a few players, etc., and a few going out on loan, I believe, over the next few days. So it's not exciting time, it's more than interesting times. We just simply can't go down. We just can't afford to go down.
Yeah, this is massive, this second half of the season. Just quickly, Anthony, because I've really enjoyed our chat and having you on the show. Tell us a little bit more about yourself, because, for the fans that are listening, how did you get, to start supporting Stoke, and then obviously working at Duck Magazine and now reporting on Stoke? It must be sort of a pinch-me moment for yourself.
Well, it's like anything. You don't choose a football club. The club chooses you. So.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it's parental and family love of the club. From Stoke-on-Trent, the only time I've lived away was when I was at university. We're just one of those clubs. It doesn't do a massive amount. One major trophy in 155 years. But what it as most supporters will probably be nodding now, is when you do have the really great moments, they are absolutely amazing, and the massive memories. Rather, it must be pretty boring winning stuff every year, to be honest. So I just, you know, I'm 51 now, been season ticket holder for 44 years, and you know, done most of the 92 now, and it's football's changed over the last 15, 20 years, and you know, it's just in you, and it kind of never leaves you. You know, you can still come home on a Saturday night and you've lost, and you're gutted. Perhaps when you're older, it doesn't hurt as much for as long. I think especially when you've got kids, by the next day or whatever, you're chuntering a bit. But and days gone by, it would literally ruin your week. So, but we know it's a great club to support. The people doing the magazine, meeting them, and whatever, meeting the odd player for interviews, etc. It's just a great club, and we don't particularly want to win things in a way. We don't expect to win things anyway. You know, we just want a little bit of passion, a little bit of fire in the bellies, some decent football, win, you know, some memories to be made, and that's enough. Because, you know, like you say, you know, we could all choose to support one of the top teams and whatever, win stuff, but it just doesn't mean as much when things go on.
Absolutely. Well, it is a great club. That's why we're doing the fan show on it. Anthony, I'm going to look forward to speaking to you more on the Stoke City fan show. Great to hear from Anthony there from Duck Magazine. Please check them out. Check him out as we move on the Stoke City fan show. Really good to get his insight. But there is still so much more to come on the Stoke City fan show. We're joined by David from Wizards of Drivel podcast.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Stoke City fan show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. Having a good show so far. Really enjoyed that chat with Anthony Bunn there from Duck Magazine, just about his life as a Stoke fan, what he's making of the team so far. And well, one guest is never enough. Now I'm joined by David from Wizards of the Drivel podcast. Once again, David, we go to you to close the show and get your thoughts on Stoke at the minute. Well, we have to talk about the game on the weekend, Rowitt's return. It was a game that, I'll be honest, David, I'm trying to get it out of my memory, if honest, because it wasn't the best of games. It was a drab 0-0 draw, but a point, it is one that we'll take, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think whilst it's probably not the best result to only take a 0-0 at home, you have to look at how well Millwall are doing lately. I think they'd scored a goal in each of their 20 last league games or something stupid. So the fact we've kept them to, kept them not scoring is a positive. I mean, admittedly, they didn't throw much at us, but I think a lot of people were saying at the end of the game that under Nathan Jones, that was a game we'd probably end up flukily losing somehow. Such was, you know, how cursed he seemed to be. So, yeah, you've got to take it. But yeah, I don't think we'll be revisiting the highlights from that one too many times.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it is a good point because you touched upon it there. Millwall's form since hiring Rowitt has been absolutely brilliant. You know, they've shot up to those playoff places and, you know, really had an upturn in form, a new manager bounce of sorts. So this was a good point on a weekend. I know Stoke obviously desperate to get more and carry on to push away from that relegation one, but a clean sheet as well, maybe a foundation to build off. Just in a weird way, David, though, is this kind of maybe a sliding doors moment? Because obviously it didn't work out when Nathan Jones, you fired Gary Rowitt. He's doing well at Millwall. Was there a sort of maybe we gave up on him a little bit too soon, a little bit too easy?
No, I wouldn't say so. I mean, people have made the argument, and people made the argument about Paul Lambert as well when he went. But I don't think so. I mean, at the end of the day, you look at the fact he spent £10 million on Tom Ince, who couldn't get a start, and kind of the wasted resources he had, because unlike Jones and now Michael O'Neill, he had the biggest budget in the Championship by far, and the football was so drab, it was unbelievable, and he didn't have the results to kind of justify that either. There's one thing playing drab football and being up towards the top of the table, when you're 16th, 17th, there's kind of nowhere to hide from it. So I'm not really one for kind of thinking, oh, maybe we let him go too early, because when you come down from the Premier League, the way financial fair play works is you've basically got one season in which to kind of prove yourselves, and we were so far away being a even playoff chasing side, and you've given it all this talk at the start of the season being like, oh, we want to win the league, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and so he fell on his own sword in a sense. I'm not surprised that he's doing well at Millwall, because I think he perhaps is one of those managers who works better with without that many resources, and he can kind of get them fired up and kind of playing to their maximum, you know, within their own constraints, if you know what I mean.
It's interesting because, you know, obviously what Michael O'Neill has to work with now, different from those last managers, this second half of the season, absolutely crucial, David. We all know that. But speaking to, you know, championship clubs and doing the other fan shows, a lot of them, I'm getting this reoccurring theme that it doesn't really matter now that first half of the season. It's just a 16-game season, you know, now to go, whatever's left, and more than that, sorry. But, you know, it's just whoever is higher in those games to go table, and that's all that matters. It's just kicking on from here, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. And I think Michael O'Neill knows that, and he certainly given me a lot more confidence over the past few weeks or so. I think I don't anticipate us buying many players in January. I think the aim of the game is still sort of survival, mid-table, at a push. So I can't really see us going all guns blazing. I think he'll be looking at a lot of players in his squad, this very bloated squad we've got, and thinking, right, who do I need for next season? What young players can I bring through? That was really good at the weekend, actually, to see Thibaut Verlinden back from Bolton and seeing sort of more youth involvement and trying to kick on from there, really. So this January is just seeing about who we keep and in what positions, and maybe getting a loan in or two.
Yeah, and maybe a few players on the move. You know, we speak into that with Anthony and yourself, and hearing some rumours, you know, players being linked with clubs away, and they may need to cut back on wages, trim that squad a little bit. Financial fair play always, you know, hanging over like a bad smell. Could we see any more departures?
Well, I think Tyrese Campbell's one who's been linked with a lot of clubs, Celtic, Rangers, I think a couple of Premier League clubs as well. And that would be, you know, desperately sad to see from a Stoke point of view, because we've all seen the talent he's got, and he'd started to, you know, establish himself in the first team under, Michael O'Neill. And whilst that would be sad, it's kind of the realities of where we are now. We are a mid-table championship club. His contract is up in the summer, so we kind of might be forced into letting him go, which is a real shame. But it's sort of more the guys who we've got out on loan already, Ndai, Etebo, Bauer, Mbeula, players like that, who are the big money players who are earning the most, and we just can't seem to shift them properly. It's either we can't get them sold, or it's a loan, and then maybe they'll be sold later. There's nothing really set in stone. So I think the kind of transfer team, the board, whoever makes these decisions, has got to really step up the game in terms of getting players out the door properly.
Yeah, it's going to be a tricky one. You know, the next few weeks of this month is going to be vital, especially towards that second half of the season, if Stoke want to push on, obviously, and carry on getting away from that relegation zone. Well, it's another tough game. This time you're in Monday night action. It is West Brom. It is the league leaders. What are you making of this game, David?
I've got a very, very bad feeling about this. I mean, West Brom used to be our, we used to be their bogey team, and it became a real running joke that we always beat West Brom. But in the last few years, that kind of tide has turned now. And I look at the football they're playing under Slaven Bilic, players like Romain Soyuz, who, you know, in an alternate universe, Rowett would have signed in his first day as Stoke manager, and you know, we could be sitting where they are right now. And I just think, away to them Monday night, we never do much when we're on telly anyway, let alone away from home. So I would snap your hand off for a point.
Yeah, but it's just one of those games where you feel like West Brom doing well on TV, Michael O'Neill, you know, maybe there's a story to be had here. I'm not writing Stoke off, because West Brom, yes, they're good. I'm not saying anything about them. They're at the top of the table, but they just have a weird game in them, and who knows, Stoke maybe could be the benefit of that. What is your score prediction then, David?
Well, having said what I've just said, I'll join you in your optimism then and say we'll jam a 1-0 from nowhere.
Yes, that's what I wanted to do, David. I was forcing you into a corner there. I really appreciate you joining us tonight on the Stoke City Fan Show. This is your show and your chance to have a platform to say what you want, and I really appreciate you coming on. I know you're struggling with your voice somewhat, so I doubly appreciate you, David. But please check out David in a Wizards of Drivel podcast for all extra Stoke content. But if you want to phone up and actually have your say live on air on national radio and put a question to David, to myself, about how the team's performing, if you agree with us and say, actually, it's because of this, or we need to do more of this, well, then do it. This is the station to do it. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. We're going to be back at the same time next Wednesday, 9:30 to 10 on the Stoke City Fan Show.
This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.